got no lock on the door. That's no way to be.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with internationally recognized pianist, arranger, composer, and producer Yaron Gershovsky. We caught up with him about his latest 2022 CD called Transitions. He is originally from Israel, graduated summa cum laude from Berklee College of Music in Boston, and then began touring the U.S. with the great jazz saxophonist Pharoah Sanders. And he was recording with the legendary Wayne Shorter on the album Atlantis. Since 1979, he has been the musical director and pianist and keyboardist for the world-renowned vocal group, the Manhattan Transfer, touring, recording, and writing instrumental and vocal arrangements for the band. He's got great stories. Enjoy.
So thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So the name of your new album is probably what everybody on Earth has been doing since March of 2020, Transitions. Man alive.
The understatement
of the year, probably. But, you know, with this very strange time on Earth and a very strange time for all of us, especially artists, how does it feel to have a new album out with hopefully the hope of getting out and doing live shows and being able to promote this a little bit more in 2020?
Absolutely. It's a great feeling to maybe of a beginning of a new time. Better days, you know, that we can do that during this time of COVID and the isolation. I just made a conscientious decision to try to be creative and not to slide into a period of like hibernation in such a way that I'm not going to do anything. So I decided to practice the piano, you know, practice my scales and arpeggios and writing and trying to be creative as much as I could. And the album is a testament to that, which makes me feel happy and proud about it.
Beautiful. So talk to me a little bit about the artistry that went into this album, what you're hoping the listener gets from this.
The word Transitions actually encapsulates a lot of the feelings, that, and like you mentioned before, and things that I feel about my life, about the music that I'm making, and about the people that I meet and get lucky to work with and create with. It combines original songs that I wrote during that time. Also some cover songs that I put a little bit of my own, if I may say, humbly stamp into them by arranging them in a certain way. So I hope that the audience will get a glimpse into my feelings about the music, about the creativity, and about where I stand right now in my current time in my life.
Well, let's go back to the beginnings of your life and how jazz began, and more specifically music. Talk to me about where you were born and raised and kind of how music became your life.
Okay, I was born in Tel Aviv, and I started to play music when I was like 6 years old. Basically, I have an older brother whom I try to emulate. He is a good, very good piano player, and I wanted to be like him, you know. I wanted to be like Mike, you know. I wanted to be, and I started to play. I taught myself, and then I started to take classical piano lessons. I went to the conservatory, the academy over there, and at a certain time in my mid-teenage years, I started to play jazz. I really liked it. I always liked to play music by ear, that I listen on the radio, either it's popular music. I always had a large scope of music that I enjoyed playing, from Latin, Brazilian, jazz, pop, anything. I just enjoyed doing it. I started to play jazz, and my early influences were like Les McCann, George Shearing, Oscar Peterson. From then, you know, and after army service of 3 years, in which I didn't play at all, I got out and I started playing, and I call my life in America like my second life in Israel. I had a very successful musical career that brought me here, actually, to Berklee College of Music, and I graduated Berklee College. And then I moved to New York. I started to work with different people. I worked with Pharoah Sanders, Richie Havens, did recordings in New York, and since 1979, I've been working with the Manhattan Transfer, being their pianist and musical director. Did vocal and instrumental arrangements for them. Two of the songs I was involved in recording and writing got Grammys, Why Not and Corner Pocket with Manhattan Transfer. So I've been touring and recording with them since basically 1979. I recorded with Wayne Shorter on his album Atlantis. I think it's his first album he's done since the breakup of Weather Report. Doing different things like that and doing my own stuff. And here we are today.
What was your first live jazz show that you saw that really blew you away?
Believe it or not, in Israel, I saw, they called themselves the Jazz Giants. They were on tour and they came to Israel. And in fact, the night where they played in Tel Aviv, I was working. I was working in a club and it wasn't my night off. So the ensemble on this band was, check it out, it was Thelonious Monk, Art Blakey, Ray Brown, Sonny Stitt,
wow,
Dizzy Gillespie, and Kenny Burrell on guitar. So imagine that my first jazz show, I saw these cats play.
Wow.
And I was so blown away. You know, it was just amazing. And actually, when I came to Berkeley, I came here with my wife. We went to Berkeley College. And the first jazz show I saw in the States was McCoy Tyner at the Jazz Workshop on Boylston Street. And after the set ended, I said to my wife, I said, listen, I think we have to go back. There's nothing for me to do here after listening to this guy playing, you know, McCoy Tyner. So it was pretty impressive.
So was it always a dream for you to come to America?
No, not really. I mean, I grew up quote-unquote, a guy who grows up and plays piano in the afternoon many times while the other kids were playing ball outside, and I was practicing my piano and being yelled by the neighbors because I was playing in the afternoon and they got bored with me playing those things, you know, every day. But I was practicing a lot. When I was 17, I got this gig that for all of a sudden made me think that maybe music can be something for me to do. I was, I started to playing, accompanying singers and doing things. And my career, thankfully, went very well. I was like, I had a weekly TV show that I was music director, and it was only one TV channel in Israel at that time. So if you were on TV, everybody on the street saw you. So I was like a celebrity, quote-unquote. I was walking in the street. I didn't have to stand in line for anything. You know, I had a taste of that. And coming to Berkeley, coming to the States was a reality show that I really needed and wanted to be all of a sudden a student and doing that. But this is something that evolved as my career moved, you know, and evolved. I said, yeah, I want to go to Berkeley and further my studies and feel more worthy of the success that I'm having.
So, you know, obviously things have worked out. You know, you're with Manhattan Transfer. You've been around greats like Dr. Lonnie Smith, Lou,
yes,
Soloff, you know, Toots Thielemans. There's been a lot of people. My question to you is this. What did these people, these heavy people in the industry teach you that you in turn teach younger players that you get around?
Being humble and being respectful of the people that you are touching in your life and working with and playing with. And I was always struck by the humility of people that the great ones, you know, because I came from a place far away, a smaller place, you know, and for me, those people were always larger than life. I said, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then I meet Chick Corea and we are friends and stuff. May he rest in peace. That's such a sad story. I mean, so I was struck by the being humble and being respectful of what you do and not take anything for granted. And of course, the inspiration that they give you with listening to what they're doing, because it's like, it's unmistakable when you hear somebody like this play and it just hits you right away and you're like going on this trip, you know, listening to these people. So all that.
Right on. So what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? What makes you go every day?
What makes me go every day, first of all, is being able to pay the rent because you know, the profession that we chose in life, our career, is not so easy, and it's not so always successful, and it's always struggling. And I'm not saying, of course, anything new. I mean, we all know, and you can read the history of music, and you know, it's funny because Benny Morton, you know, Morton Swing, I mean, he comes from your city, and I always remember the count off that Count Basie did for, he was tapping with his foot on the floor, like giving the tempo for the band when they did Morton Swing. So that was just a side note. If you do a show and people come to you and say, hey, you sounded great, even if you don't think so, because, you know, but hearing the response from the people when you do what you do is the main thing that gets you going. It's the energy that you get back from the people that you play for. And that this is a part that was missing in the last couple of years, because we did videos, we did postings on Facebook of videos of we singing and playing for people, but there's nothing like seeing them in the same room and getting the response and the energy from them.
You know, I guess that's the big thing right now with COVID, with hopefully getting on the other side of this and performing live more. What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music when we kind of return in earnest this year?
Sometimes, unfortunately, you appreciate something when they take it away from you. And this was taken away from us, you know, the live performing and the exchange of energy with people that watch you and are in the same room with you, or even in the club. They sit right next to you, and you can see what they're having for dinner, or, you know, you can smell the French fries and everything. So all this thing is something that is missing, and now hopefully we're going to all get it back and continue with what we do is spread the word and play music for live people and feel the energy from them back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, and your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
I think I'm a very lucky man, and I'll tell you why. I'm a very lucky man because I get to do what I love to do. I'm a lucky man because I have a family that loves me, and I have three daughters and eight grandchildren that I enjoy immensely. In fact, one of the songs on my Transitions album is dedicated to my granddaughter, Mia. She was the first one, and I wrote a song about her a few years ago. One of the songs in the album is dedicated actually to my wife, which is I'll Be Seeing You. It means a lot to me, the family, and I always tried, I think hopefully successfully, to maintain a balance between my musical life and my family life. So family for me is a very important thing.
Beautiful, man. I'm glad that we got all this figured out and we finally got to talk. Thank you for taking some time out for the show. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage this year.
Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate the call, and it's great talking to you. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Israel, New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Got my song. Got my song.
Neon Jazz.